James chapter 4, and we're going to be reading verses 13 through 15, and then after I read these verses, I'm going to go ahead and pray again. James chapter 4, and I'm going to go ahead and start reading in verse 13. The word of God says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." Let's go ahead and pray. Father, again, thank you for this day. Thank you for these faithful believers who have chosen to come to church on a Wednesday night. And Lord, we just pray that you'd bless them for that. And we pray that you'd bless your word, help it to impact our lives and not just go in one ear and out the other. But Lord, may we really seek to apply these things to our lives. And because of that, I pray you'd use us to lead people to the Lord and disciple believers for Christ. We pray you'd bless this church and bless the rest of the service. In Jesus' name, amen. In 1939, Albert Einstein signed a letter warning U.S. President Franklin Roosevelt of the destructive potential of a nuclear bomb. This bomb had the power of around 20,000 tons of TNT, and therefore would destroy anything within a five-mile radius. And so for Nazi Germany to obtain such weaponry would literally be devastating to all of its enemies, basically all of the world. Well, 2 years after receiving this news, Japan attacked Pearl Harbor, destroying much of the U.S. Pacific Fleet. And because of that, the next day, the U.S. entered World War II. 6 months later, President Roosevelt created the top-secret project known as the Manhattan Project, aimed to develop the atomic bomb before the Nazis could. The Manhattan Project had top scientists from around the world. And you know, the U.S. had more resources than really the Nazi Germany had. They had more people than Germany had. But the one thing that the Nazis that the Americans lacked, that we lacked, was time. You see, Germany had already had a head start in making this bomb years in advance. And so we were far behind them. And so we lacked time. It was only a matter of time till the Germans had this bomb and would be able to use it. But thankfully, on May 8th, 1945, we were able to defeat Germany before they were able to make that bomb. And then to make things even better for us, we had an atomic bomb ready the next day and ready to be shipped. On August 6th, the U.S. dropped an atomic bomb on Hiroshima and then a second one on August 9th on Nagasaki, thus ending World War II. You know, I'm thankful that the U.S. entered the war when they did. I really am. I wish they would have entered it in sooner, but I'm glad they entered in when they did, because if Germany had just a little bit more time, who knows what they would have been able to do? Who knows if they would have had just enough time to make this bomb and then start mass producing it and dropping it on people. You know, time is important. In fact, I believe one of the most valuable gifts that God has ever given to us is time. I believe one of the most valuable gifts God has ever given to us is time. But as valuable as I believe that time is, I also believe time is probably one of the most abused gifts that God has given us. Just think about the time that you've spent doing the things that you do. The vast majority of it probably hasn't been for Christ. I know when I look at my past, I'm sad about how much time I've wasted. How much time I've just thrown out the door, just mindlessly sitting in front of the TV, or when I was a teenager playing video games, or whatever it is. Time is so important, but I feel like we don't value time much at all. In fact, I remember when I was when I had started this door-to-door ministry in Wyoming. When I went to this college, I was sitting in personal evangelism class, and you know, my heart was breaking to start sharing the gospel. But this college, it was in a town the size of 200 people. Almost everyone in that town probably knew Christ as their Savior. And we were far away from any city, about an hour away. And I so badly wanted to share the gospel. You know, I'm sitting in personal evangelism class, they're teaching us about all this, and I'm just sitting there doing nothing about it, basically. So I decided I'm going to go to Scottsbluff, Nebraska, and start sharing the gospel over there, start going door to door. I'd never had someone personally show me how to share the gospel with someone or take me door to door. I'd been taught it in a class level, but never personally. And so when I started going door to door in there in Scott's Bluff, I made a lot of mistakes. there's a lot of things I didn't know. For instance, you know, when I first started off, every time I saw a Jehovah's Witness track or a Mormon track in someone's mailbox, I would take it out. That's illegal. You can go to jail for that. Don't do that. You know, so there's things like that I learned. And one thing I really learned after my 4 years of doing this was people really have no time for God. You know, I'm going door to door and I'll say something like, "Hello, my name's Jory Petiti. I'm just going around sharing with people how they can know for sure how to get to heaven. And I was just wondering if maybe I could share that with you for about 5 or 10 minutes." And time again, shut the door, shut the door. Certainly there were some people that would give me the time, but the majority of people would shut their door. I'd come to their house and they're watching a football game or something like that. And certainly they've watched many football games in the past, but yet they're too important to hear about how they can have eternal life, how they can have a relationship with the creator of the universe. They're too busy for that. And so I learned that people had no time for God. The Lord has given everyone here time. How are you doing with your time? Is time important to you? And do you have time for God? This evening, I want to give just two exhortations on time. And the first one is don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. Let's look again at verse 14. It says this, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." I remember when I was a child, I came to my mother and I asked her, "Mom, how old are you?" And she said, "She's 30 years old." And I thought, wow, that is so old. I remember thinking, 30 years old was just so far away. I didn't even know if I could ever make it to be 30 years old. I'm 29 years old. December 26, I'll be 30 years old. So I'm almost there. And I can tell you, it didn't take long at all. It flew by. You know, we just had a baby girl. She's 4 months old. And people just seem to always tell us, "Oh, you better enjoy it because time's going to fly by. And before you know it, she's going to be an adult." And you know, they're probably right. They're probably right. And when I talk to older people all the time, they say things like, "The older you get, the faster time goes by." And so then it's very fitting that this verse calls life a vapor, isn't it? Vapor. You're cooking on the stovetop and some smoke or steam or whatever's going up and it's gone. It's there for a split second and then it's gone. Well, when we compare our life to eternity, okay, eternity's never ending. Our life here on earth really is shorter than a vapor. Our life is so, so short. So we don't have much time. Some people have more than others, but one thing is certain, and that is that it is short. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 16 says this, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." This verse tells us to be wise with our time. Are you wise with your time? Do you put thought into how you're going to spend time? What you're going to do with your time? Do you put good thought into that? You know what? Today I really want to just give my time to the Lord, and everything I do is going to be for the glory of God. Do you do that with your time, or do you mindlessly just go about your days and your weeks and in your life, not really thinking about how important time is? Not really thinking about how you can use your time profitably, investing it in the soul or into the lives of other people and for the glory of God. The Bible says, be wise with our time because the days are evil. You know, if you're like me, your schedule and your days are always filled with things to do. I know that's how it is for me. Oh, I've got to do this and I got to do this. And sometimes I want to put those things ahead of other things like reading the Bible or praying. And sometimes I try and seems like I'm trying to lose focus of what I need to do. But you know, if our days and our schedules are filled with all these to-dos and these things aren't for God, these things aren't pointing people towards Christ, these things aren't helping grow me closer to Christ, you know, it's a waste. It really is. If we're filling up our days just doing things that we want to do, you know, I just want to watch TV all day. I just want to sit down all day. I just want to play games all day. I just want to do my hobby all day long, every week, nonstop. You know, we can't take those things into heaven. I can't take my house into heaven with me someday. I can't take my vehicle into heaven with me someday. We've got to fill up our time and our schedule with things that we know the Lord wants us to do. And obviously, you've got to work and you've got to do all these things. But when you do those things for the Lord. When you go to work, go and seek to be a witness to those people, both through the way you live and verbally, sharing the gospel with them. Do those things when you go to work, when you're with your family, trying to be a witness to them, sharing the gospel with them. When you have some free time, I love trying to study the Word of God some more or trying to memorize some scripture with some free time that I might have. Trying to fill it up with the things of the Lord. An unknown author said this, "Wasted time equals wasted years, which equals wasted life." We cannot afford to throw our time away. It's too short. We must spend it wisely for the Lord. Psalm 90, verse 12 says this, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." So the first exhortation is don't waste your time. It's very short. Because of that, don't waste it. If you had just $5, you're probably going to want to spend that wisely. Likewise, our time is short. Spend it wisely. But secondly, notice with me, don't wait for time. Don't wait for time. Let's look again at verse 14. It says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow." Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1 says this, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." You know, none of us know what tomorrow may bring. None of us know what an hour from now may bring. Not a single one of us know that. In fact, I remember preaching on this passage one time in a church in Colorado, and as I'm preaching on this, the ambulance pulled up to the church. Its lights are going off, and a lady ended up having like a stroke or a heart attack or something like that in the middle of the service and had to get taken out. As I'm preaching on how none of us know what the future may hold. And you know, I never try and say these things to try and threaten you or anything like that, but it's true. We could leave here today and get hit by a vehicle. We could leave here today and never see our loved ones again. And because of that, can I encourage you, don't wait for time. Don't wait to start serving the Lord. Don't wait to stop doing something that you know the Lord has been calling you to stop doing. Don't wait to give your life to the Lord. If you know the Lord has called you to start preaching, kind of like where I was at in the past. I'd gone to West Coast twice and really felt the Lord leading me to preach. But I ignored him and I said, wait, or I don't want to. But at first it was wait. And that wait turned into, oh, I just completely forgot about it. Oh, I don't want to anymore. In fact, I remember after I'd finished Snow College, I came back to Moab and interned under my pastor right before I went to Bible college. And as I was interning under my pastor, I remember one time he had me go to the bank for something. And so I was at the bank and my friend was walking on the sidewalk and he started to talk to me. He knew me in high school. He knew the partier, the fighter, the rebel that I was. And now he sees that he had heard that I want to be a pastor now. I want to serve the Lord with the rest of my life. And he was so curious. "Jory, what happened to you?" And, you know, at this time, you know, I was very busy. My pastor had me doing something. And when I interned under him, he had me doing lots of stuff. You know, I was busy. And also, I hadn't really shared the gospel much at this time. I was nervous. We're both young. We got plenty of years ahead of us. I just, you know, I basically told the Lord, wait. This kid was literally asking me to share the gospel with him. He said, "Jory, what happened to you? You used to be like this, and now you're like this." It's like a perfect opportunity. Like he's just saying, share the gospel with me. But at that moment, I just made excuses. Said, you know, there'll be another time. There'll be another time. I'll just wait. So I didn't share the gospel with him. I said something very generic. And we split our ways. And I went to Bible college that fall for the first time. And I remember going on Facebook and seeing that he was rock climbing there in Moab. And I guess they didn't tie a knot right or something. And he fell to his death. And I remember thinking what I had done. I don't know if this guy ever would have got saved if I shared the gospel with him. But that's really not the point. I know the Lord wanted me to share the gospel with him. This kid was literally asking me to share the gospel with him. But I thought there was going to be a better time. I thought there was going to be another opportunity. I thought we were young and that we had plenty of time. But I was wrong. Can I encourage you with this? One of the worst things you can ever say to the Lord is wait. One of the worst things you can ever say to the Lord is tomorrow. If the Lord is calling you to do something, I'd suggest you just start doing it right then. I'm still learning that lesson with my wife. She'll tell me to take out the trash or something, and I'll say, okay, I'll do it. And I don't, and then I forget about it completely. And the next day, it's still not taken out, you know? When the Lord tells us to do something, can I encourage you to do it? You know, there's a lot of things in the Bible that God has commanded us to do. You know, one of them being sharing the gospel. Are you sharing the gospel? Are you seeking to? Are you praying to do it? If you're not even praying for it, can I encourage you to start praying for the Lord to help you start sharing the gospel? I know that helped me. I always had this excuse of, I don't know how to share the gospel. I can't do it. You know, at least I can start praying to the Lord to help me. And when I started doing that, he started breaking my heart, and I had no choice but to start going. And so I did. You know, there's a lot of things in the Word of God, a lot of things that God says not to do. Are you blatantly doing those things that you know God doesn't want you to do? Is there some area in your life, some sin that you know you shouldn't be doing? And you want to stop maybe, but you keep saying, not tomorrow. Oh, another time. Just a couple more times I'm going to do this and then I'll stop. Can I encourage you, the best time to stop those things is right now. The best time to start serving the Lord is right now. You'll never regret it. Years down the road, when you're at the end of your life and you're looking back at your life, you're not going to regret that time you said no and you finally stopped that sin. You're not going to regret that time in your life where you got down on your knees and you gave your life to the Lord. You told the Lord, you know what? This life is not my own. It's yours. Do with it whatever you will. You're not going to ever regret that, but you will regret those times you said, Lord, tomorrow. Lord, wait, I don't want to right now. Or even sometimes, Lord, no, I'm not going to. You're going to regret those times. There's a song I play on the guitar and sing called Plenty of Time. I want to read you the lyrics of this song. And basically, this song's about a young man who grew up in church, had heard the gospel, and just always said he had plenty of time to make a decision for the gospel. And then before he knew it, his life was over. It goes like this. I got up Sunday morning, went to the church at 10. I listened to the words I had heard time and time again. The preacher spoke of sinful lives. It seemed he spoke of mine. But I was young, and I had plenty of time. I walked on down life's pathway, living as I wished to live, how to beat the other fellow, how to get what life could give. Making money is not sinful. Having fun is not a crime. So I'll just wait, because I've got plenty of time. Plenty of time to decide where I'm bound, to eternal darkness or to heaven's grounds. I'm just a young man, not yet in my prime, so I'll just wait, because I've got plenty of time. Now, before I knew what happened, my life had passed away, and millions stood before God's throne, for it was judgment day. Now eternal darkness beckons, and the name it calls is mine, but I had thought that I had plenty of time. Eternity waits. I've got plenty of time to think of all the days that Christ could have been mine. Now my chance is over, or his days are left behind, and all I've got is plenty of time. You know, someday when we pass on from this life, we will have plenty of time. Whether it's believers in heaven, we will have plenty of time. We'll have eternity. Or whether it's someone who goes to hell, you know, they'll have plenty of time. But you know, while we're here on earth, we don't have plenty of time. We do not. It is very short. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, can I encourage you, don't wait to get that thing figured out. Spend your entire, every waking moment trying to figure out what the Bible says about it. And I'll tell you right now, it's very clear, it's very simple what the Bible says about salvation. Over and over again, you can find verses like John 3:16 where it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." John 3:18, "He that believes is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." One of my most favorite verses, John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he who hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. You can find these over and over again in the word of God. The Bible says that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us, we're all sinners. And because of that sin, we deserve hell and we cannot get to heaven. A lot of people want to think that they can do a bunch of good works to help to outweigh their bad works, and God will see that and take them to heaven. But if people go to heaven like that, then what would be the point of Christ dying on the cross? If God could just weigh your good works, there'd be no point. Jesus died on the cross because if you have just one sin, and we have a lot more than that, but if you have just one sin, you deserve hell. And no matter how many good things you do, no matter how good of a person you are, that's not going to help you. You have sin, and that sin has to be removed. God saw this. He saw that we could do absolutely nothing to save ourselves. And he loved us so much that he sent Jesus Christ down to this earth. Christ, being the creator of everything, came down to this earth to become a man. He became a man so that he could feel everything we feel. Hunger, thirst, but ultimately so he could bleed and die on the cross for us. And so Jesus Christ took the sins of the world upon himself, suffered the wrath of God in our place. And then over again we see the Bible declaring that he was buried and rose again from the dead, proving that he had conquered death, proving that everything he had said is true, and that we could trust him with our lives. So can I encourage you to trust Jesus Christ? The Bible is very clear. If you trust him, he will save you. He wants to save you. He does not want you to spend your whole life hoping and maybe you might get to heaven. Very clear. John 5:13 says, these things are written that you may know that you have everlasting life. If you're here today and you do not know for certain if you'd go to heaven, I encourage you to get that figured out. Talk to your pastor and he'll tell you how you can know for certain. If you're here today and you're a believer and there's something in your life that you know the Lord's been leading you to stop doing, can I encourage you to really make an effort to make that decision right now? You know what, Lord? I'm going to stop this. And I'm not going to regret it. I'm going to be so excited that I did. I'm going to stop this sin. Or I'm going to start doing this. I know you've commanded this in your Bible. I know I'm supposed to be doing this, but I haven't. I'm going to start doing that right now. I'm going to make a decision right now. I'm going to be like Daniel, where he says in 1 Daniel, that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Can I encourage you to purpose in your heart that you're going to start living for God or start sharing the gospel or start reading the word of God every day, start praying to the Lord nonstop? Can I encourage you to make those decisions today? It's so important. As I mentioned before, time is one of the most valuable gifts God has ever given us. If someone gives me a watch, you know, I can always buy another. But when my time's gone, I can never get it back. Time is important. Can I encourage you, don't waste your time? And then can I encourage you to not wait for time? Thank you, Pastor. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word again and these believers. Thank you for the pastor for allowing me to come here and preach and share our ministry and our burden. Lord, we just pray again that you would help us to be valuable or to make our time valuable and spend it wisely for you. And Lord, this area needs the gospel just like every other area in the world. And we just pray you'd use these believers to lead many to the Lord and just be a witness in this dark world. And just pray that you'd use them to disciple many believers who'd go out and do the same thing that they're doing, Lord. Bless this church, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.